Okay, good evening. Hope everyone is well. Tonight, I want to continue on in our discussion of understanding the complexities of the modern-day oven. Or perhaps more importantly, the discussion of having only one oven and possible kashrus issues that could arise with only one oven. Now again, today...
Can I just interject that
yes.
The Shesler for Shlema, Chaim Yeshua Ben Hendel...
Yes, perfect.
And Chaim Yitzchak... Moshe Ben Esther Reisel.
Oh, yes, thank you for that, Michael. I appreciate that. So tonight we're going to continue on our conversation from last week about the complexities of having one oven. Now again, we're going to discuss many different opinions on the oven issue. So again, for those that have two ovens, this is more academic, not so practical. But for those that only have one oven, this is an extremely relevant conversation. The conversation comes up not only with regard to Basa B'Cholov, it comes up with regard to Pesach, as you have to kasher your oven before Pesach. Again, there might be some difference between Pesach and regular Basa B'Cholov, but nonetheless, it's a general question of how to look at our oven. So if you remember last week, we discussed issue number one with the oven is the issue of Reyach. That would mean if I were to cook two foods at the same time in the oven, the idea would be that the aroma, the smell of one food, goes into the other food. That was a sugya of Reyach, which we discussed last week, to which the Gemara says, Reich alav milsi. We paskin, presumably, that smell doesn't count, but we mentioned from the Rif, that lechatchila, we don't put two things together next to each other, and therefore, lechatchila, one should not cook open milchiks and open fleishiks in the same oven. If they did, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that b'dieved it's okay, but lechatchila, we don't cook open milchiks and open fleishiks. Now, there are some other details we need to get to, but that was last week's topic. This week, we're focusing on a new topic called Zeya. Zeya is a little bit more complicated. Why? Because there's no Mufurish Gemara anywhere that talks about Zeya. Reichoi, the topic of smell, which was given off from one food to another, that was Gemaras. We had a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, we had a Gemara in Chulam, we had Gemaras to work with. Zeya, which literally means, I mentioned this last time, it translates, normally we call Zeya sweat, but over here Zeya is steam. The steam of the food has a halachic status, and that's not found in the Gemara. So let's just go back a couple of steps. In normal basa b'cholov issues, when we talk about a plate, a bowl, a fork, what normally happens is that let's say, for example, a pot. So a pot absorbs the tam, it absorbs the taste of the food because the food is sitting in the pot. So the walls of the pot can absorb that taste. But what happens when you have something like the modern day oven? The modern day oven is interesting because the way the modern day oven is structured, the food never touches the walls of the oven, nor the ceiling of the oven. So it's not like a pot. When you take a food and put it into a pot, so the walls of the pot absorb the food itself. But an oven, besides from the fact that very rarely do you ever cook anything in an oven by itself, on the rack itself, you'll always almost put it in some form of a utensil, whether it be a foil pan or whether it be another type of a pan, which we'll have to discuss as well. But there's nothing that ever touches the walls of the oven. So what exactly, is there anything connecting the heat of the food to the oven walls itself? And that's really the sugya of Zeya. So that's what we need to see. Is there any halachic significance to the steam that comes from a dish? And therefore, that steam could have some form of a halachic significance. Now, the concept of Zeya, steam, is definitely a real thing in other areas of halacha. For example, there's a couple of Mishnayos in Makshirin that talk about the concept of Zeya, the steam of something has a din of something. But the question is, how does it play in Basa B'Cholov? That's the million-dollar question. Because again, there's no other issue with the modern-day oven. Again, in a modern-day oven, you can have an issue of having mamoshes. You can have a spilled fleishik gravy that's sitting on the floor of the oven. That could be a problem. But if your oven is clean, so you can't say, I have blias. Blias of what? How did anything get absorbed? So we'll have to come up with some form of creative way to figure out if there is any halachic issue with our oven. And then obviously we'll have to see, how do we deal with this issue if it really is an issue? So the first source that discusses any issue of Zeya, steam, in relevance to Basa B'Cholov is a Tshuva Sarash. Now, I had a hard time finding the Tshuva Sarash on my Oitzar HaChachma, so I'll just quote it to you the way it's quoted by the Torah in Shulchan Aruch. This is a Tshuva Sarash. What is a Tshuva Sarash, right? Number one. Zokta Rosh, Kosev Adoni Yavi Rosh, the Torah is quoting from his father, the Rosh. Machavas, that's an important word, as we'll see this evening. A Machavas, which we think means some form of like a pat, Shal Cholov, Let's say you have a pot of milk. Shenosna bekira, you put it into the oven. Tachas kdei rishal basr. So let's say, for example, imagine in your head two stories, and on the bottom you have a boiling pot of hot milk, and right above it you have a fleishik pot, kdei rishal basr. So halach is hazeya oyle v'nivla b'kideira v'ois rasai. The zeya, the steam of the bubbling hot milk, goes up, and it goes into the fleishik pot, and it's ki'ilu, there's milchik in the pot itself. Because there's a chiddush of zeya kidavar atzmai. The steam of something has the din of the thing itself. So the Rosh, presumably, was the first one to expand the concept of zeya beyond the Mishnayis and Machshirin, which was only regarded to Tumah Vetara, or Machshar LeTumah. The Rosh wanted to include it to Bas B'chav and say that when I have steam from a piece of hot milk, that steam from the hot milk is like it's the milk itself. And it's ki'ilu now milk flopped into the pot. That's the chiddush of the Rosh. Now again, this doesn't yet connect to the modern day oven, but this is the first step that we have into the concept of Zeya. Now, this Rosh is recorded by the Shulchan Aruch, seems to be referred by the Torah and the Ramah. No one seems to take an issue with it. However, it's worth mentioning, there is a tshuva from the Mishkanes Yankov. The Mishkanes Yankov lived in the latter part of the 18th century. He died in 1844. So I guess he was born in 1780, so he probably lived majority of his life was the 19th century. He was a Choshev Rav, the Mishkanes Yankov, and he has a Chiddush and a Tshuva. I didn't put it on the paper because no one seems to give it too much halacha credence, but I'm going to mention it just to be honest. The Mishkanes Yankov writes that this is not true. The Din of Zeya has no applications with regard to Basa B'chalav. The Din of Zeya is strictly with regard to things pertaining to being able to become Tomei. It has nothing to do with Bas B'chalav, it has nothing to do with Chametz. He has a whole list of things that you can't apply the Din of Zeya to. So therefore the Mishkanes Yankov basically says that the whole Zeya is not relevant to Bas B'chalav. Now again, this Mishkanes Yankov is either the Achrayim didn't have it, or they had it but they didn't quote it, because it's not found in any of the later literature. For example, we're going to see where Moshe Feinstein discusses Zeya. He never mentions this concept of the Mishkanes Yankov. I don't know if he had the Mishkanes Yankov, he didn't have the Mishkanes Yankov, but as we'll see, that this is probably not going to be the saving grace to the oven. Now, just to point out, when we talked before about Reach, about the smell of going in one from the other, that's only an issue if you're cooking them simultaneously, you're cooking them at the same time. The issue that we're going to discuss tonight is if I want to cook milchiks, open milchiks at 10 o'clock, then I want to cook open fleishiks at 12 o'clock. So you can't tell me at 12 o'clock it's the smell. The smell is over now, it was 2 hours ago. But what is the issue if I want to cook at 10 o'clock open fleishik, because then within the next 2 hours cook open milchiks? What can be wrong? So we're saying now that there's something to do with zeya. Because when you cook steam, and that steam is like the basar itself. Okay. We haven't yet seen how it plays out into the modern day oven. So we'll see Ramah. Let's see number 2. This is Ramah. It's in Kufches. Zogt Ramah. Im afu aitzolu issa veheter. Let's say you cooked issa veheter. Tachas machavas achas megun. Under a machavas. That was opened. Asur afilu b'di'evit. It's asur even b'di'evit, because again the zeir goes up. V'hu adin zog the ramoy im afu b'chiyagav napas im basur. Let's say you cooked meat with bread with meat with the same thing, one on top of the other. Asur afilu b'zeach azeh. Zog the ramoy, it's going to be asur even one after the other. Why? Im hayushneim megulin. If they were both cooked open. Why? It's like a pot of a cover. And we mentioned last week that a pot of a cover, a pot cover of a pot, absorbs the heat. And therefore, says the Ramah, if you cook under what he calls a machavas, if you cook under a machavas, even one after the other, so how do you explain this? The answer is, you have to say, is that when you cook, the heat goes up, the steam goes up, it gets embedded into the walls. Then when you cook 2 hours later, the milchiks, that heat goes up, brings it out, and then you have a mixture of basa b'chalav. That's the idea of zeya, and that's the idea of the oven. When I cook at 10 o'clock, hot fleishiks, so the steam is fleishiks itself, it gets embedded into the walls of the oven. Then when I cook hot milchiks, so the same steam comes out, it brings out the hot milchiks, just like a pot cover, and therefore I have a problem of basa b'chalav. Now, we're going to see later tonight a chiddush from Rebbe Tzion Vosner. Rebbe Tzion Vosner is a son of Rebbe Shmuel Vosner. He's going to tell you that the word machavas is not a synonym for an oven. we assume that a machavas is like an oven, right? You cook two things under some form of a cover. So zakter amar, even if it's one after the other, it's aser. So we assume that a machavas would be like an oven. So we'll see in a few minutes that Rabbi Tzin Vosner is going to tell us not so. Okay, so this Ramo sounds a little bit like an oven. He's talking about a case where you're cooking bazachas one after the other. They're both open, nothing's covered. Again, this is also the makar that if you cover things in an oven, it's not such a problem. Because again, if Zeya's coming out of the walls, but if it's fully covered, then nothing's coming out of anything. Right? But this Ramo seems to be perhaps some form of a smach to our ovens. Now there's a
truth. Isn't this the same as Kabbalah Kachbalta?
Yes, exactly. Now that we're going to use when we kasher things, but over here the only way the zeya comes out is when hat zeya comes in. So when the hat zeya of the milchik schleps out the hat zeya of the fleishiks, or they combine together, however you want to look at it. Now there's an interesting tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Now it's interesting. Rabbi Yaakov Emden lived about 100 years before the Mishkanes Yankiv. Rabbi Yaakov Emden died, if I'm not mistaken, 1776. Right? When America became a country. 1776 was, I believe, when Rabbi Yaakov Emden died. I'm confusing him with Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, his partner, his buddy. But in any case, it's about 100 years before the Mishkanes Yankiv. So the Yaivitz has a tshuva in Siman Tzadi Gimel, where he was seemingly asked about using an oven for back-to-back purposes, meaning I'm going to cook open fleishiks at 10 o'clock, and then I'm going to cook open milchiks at 12 o'clock. Is that a problem? So the Yaivitz writes in number 3. He says, these doubled ovens, can you cook basa v'cholav one after the other? So the first issue people have is that there's dirt. There's actual substance left. There's you know, fat fleishik sitting on the floor of the oven, which when that gets hot again, that's going to give off, that's real issues. But he writes, he's not so sure about that. And then he says, we're going to skip a little bit, where he says over here, "Umashe avanti b'koisli oisir ha-machmir in oisir ha-machol gamkein, v'ze boirois gomur, sh'ere yedua l'chol bebe rav dechad yoyma." Every one day all Talmud Chacham knows, she'en kli oisir es chaverta b'li roitev. He says, the only way you can answer things is if there's some form of a liquid, is a roitev. But if there's nothing else, just from walls to walls, there's no problem. Meaning, what Rabbi Yaakov Emden basically is saying is that what are you worried about? The Zeya goes from the wall and then it comes back into the wall. It doesn't work that way. That's not how Blias work. Blias have to work with some form of a liquid. So therefore, Zeya Rabbi Yaakov Emden, what's the problem with the oven? And he gets even stronger, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, later on. He writes, he says, and then he says over here, he thinks you can really do it. And he says over here, and these people that are making a big deal about it, they're chosid shoytim, they're foolish, righteous people, and they're causing people to have to buy two ovens. We'll see that Rav Betzion Vosner makes the same argument today. That if you're going to be so machmir with the ovens, everyone's going to have to buy two ovens. It's going to be a big expense. And then he writes, "Uma'avin moment shleisov v'hani milud yesh makom nachok eichad derigidon nacham betanu gam macholim sheish bem shumon." That's if there's liquid. Avli lo regila v'achil gamri a makom klal laharchoka. Then he writes, "V'teidash arei ma'isim bechol yoim." Says if Yaakov Emden, this is business as usual. Mid 1700s, this was normal. This was normal practice, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Everyone was doing it. No one had any problems. Even have to write this. So why is this important? I heard this from Rabbi Rudinsky, made this observation, that this is an interesting truth from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, just from a historical standpoint. Historically speaking, there was a time in the 1700s where Jews were all using one oven. So there's got to be some form of a justification for the usage of one oven. It's hard to imagine that the Jews were all sinning in, you know, during this time in history. So clearly, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was okay with the usage of one oven, b'zeh chazeh. Then we turn to the Marsham. The Marsham was Reb Shalom Shadron, the grandfather of the famous Magid Reb Shalom Shadron. But the Marsham was the Poisek Ador in the turn of the 20th century. And he writes like this. He says, "Va'olam nogim levashel la'afos macholei cholov." The velt was meikel. They'd bake and they'd cook in the oven in milchiks, and the steam would go up to the top. Within 24 hours, there was no waiting. They used to cook meat. He says, "Avadi, you shouldn't do it." But again, what is he saying? This was the practice, like Yaakov Emden said, that the practice definitely was in history that people were cooking in one oven. Now again, it's interesting because Rebbe Tzvi Vosloo tries to bring this in Marsham as a right to him, even though the Marsham is very clear. He writes, "Avul lechatchila in lahakel." But the point is, again, just from a historical standpoint, there was definitely a time in history where people were using one ovens back to back, and they weren't concerned about the zeya. Why were they not concerned about the zeya? Because we'll see that one of the arguments is that the zeya doesn't get anywhere. The zeya burns up before it hits the walls because it's so hot in the oven. The zeya, whatever that steam is, yes, steam is real, but that steam gets burnt up before it even gets a chance to go anywhere. Now, we mentioned last week, it's worth mentioning again, there is a machlokes apoiskim if zeya exists in all foods or only in certain foods. We mentioned that the Prima Gadim, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva in Yerodei, has a tzad that there's only zeya in liquid. Because again, what was the case of the Rush? You were boiling up a pot of milk. Milk is a liquid. So if you ever put anything on the stove that's liquid, you'll see it creates a lot of steam. But solids don't always produce so much steam. So therefore, there's a possibility in Pesach that if you have a solid food, then you don't have to worry about steam. Now, it has to go both ways. Because again, if the food that I cooked originally was a solid, and even if the food that I'm cooking now is a liquid, but that liquid, there was no first steam in the first place. So you'd have to have two liquidy foods to have a problem of zeya, according to this kula. Now the velt has a kasher. Rav Adya Yosef discussed this in his tshuva, that there's halacha in Hilchos Pesach that used to have some form of a cover, a kisoy that they used to put over a charora. I guess they used to bake some form of a cake or a bread, and they'd cover it while it was being baked with some form of a metal sheet, and that needed to be kashered. And the Magen Avraham says it needs to be kashered because of the zeya. So the Achorinim say, what do you mean zeya? It's a bread. Bread doesn't have zeya. You can't get a bigger salad than bread. So they all mutcher to answer up why by Pesach would you have to kasher if it's just zeya and it's a salad. But this is an important halacha for us to remember, that if you have something that's a salad, it's much, much less problematic in the world of zeya. If it's liquidy, you have a much bigger problem. So if all you want to cook in your milk and inflation oven are salads and salads and salads, okay, if you're going to have a gravy, you're going to cook a turkey with gravy, and you have problems. That's going to be a liquid. But if all you want to cook is a dry piece of schnitzel, and then an hour later you want to cook a blintzer. A blintzer might be even better because the cheese is really wrapped in the dough. Or let's say you want to cook a pizza. So that's really two dvarim yevashim back to back. So according to some shitas, there's no zeya whatsoever involved in that equation. Again,
is the pizza actually a dvar yevash because it's got the oil and doesn't that shoot up?
So the Aruch HaShulchan says like that. It depends how much, you know, liquid there is. But I'm not so sure. I think a pizza is pretty, most pizzas are not so liquidy. Again, if you wanted to cook maybe even lasagna, I don't think, unless you're making a very, very saucy lasagna. Again, it's probably a dove yovish. You're making a lot of the things that we make in our oven, believe it or not, are pretty, pretty solid, are not so lach. Lach is usually cooked on the stovetop.
So am I understanding this correctly? You're saying if it's a dover yavesh, it doesn't have liquid. Let's say you want to cook a piece of meat and you want to cook a lasagna, and it's within 24 hours, yep. It should be 100% mutter.
If you hold like those poiskim, that there's no zeya by a dover yavesh. That's an if.
Do we poskim like that?
We're going to get to that tonight, I hope. But that's the if. Now, there is a interesting machlokes apoiskim. Again, it's not really negeah for us. If zeya is a problem, isn't it nisa deraisa, or is it only nisa derabanan? Again, not our topic, but I just want to throw that out there for those that want to study the sugya of zeya in depth. You should just know that it is quite a discussion back and forth. It comes up to, again, it really is very strong in the sugya of schnapps, because schnapps is made from zeya, and it comes up in the sugya of chodesh and yosham. But again, not for tonight's topic. But in any case, if we stop right here, We're getting the picture that Jews were never makbid on two ovens. Why? So maybe there's samich on the Prima Gadim that the fact is that on one oven and it's yavish, you don't have such a problem. Which again, Moshe wasn't such a keen fan, but we're not up to that yet. Or for some reason, Klai Yisrael all managed with one oven. And they figured it out that Bezach HaZeh, there's no problem. But there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe that we need to deal with, because Rav Moshe was the Paisik Adar, and we have to take everything he says very seriously, and we have to understand where he was coming from. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this in Igros Moshe number 5. Igros Moshe Yerodei Chel Gal Samim, a very important tshuva from Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe was asked the following question. Hinei b'tanurei ha-gash in Medina Zu, with the gas ovens in this country, im yesh yochush zeya b'bishul le-tafshol shabasa megula, is there a chshash of zeya in a dish that's cooked open, la'asur levash al-achakach tafshol shachol megula, that you would not be able to cook then open milchix afterwards? You know, we're talking about open, no foil. We'll get the foil later tonight, Bilinezer, hopefully. But we're talking about open. Because again, if you go home and ask your wife, or we're already home, ask your wife, there are certain dishes that are very hard to cook open. Many, many meats are not good if you cover them. Many, some fancy milchix dishes are not good when you cover them. But again, many things you could cover. But Moshe Shaila was, if you're going to cook it open, mamish real zeya, I'm going to cook at 10 o'clock an open lasagna, and then I'm going to cook at 12 o'clock an open steak in the same oven. Do I have a concern to be worried about? Zot Rav Moshe. So the Shoyal to Rav Moshe, the one asking the question, he presented a bunch of arguments why he thinks it's okay. And Rav Moshe basically slams them all down. 1 through 3, he slams them all down. He doesn't agree with the Shoyal's opinion. And he says like this, you wanted to tell 3 reasons why it's mutter. Zot Rav Moshe, hein tamim kalushim. They're all very weak. Not exactly a compliment from Rav Moshe, but you know, Rav Moshe is saying they're very weak arguments. Why? The mashikasa b'tamecha mishum sheroiv sherav hamerchuk ben akdeir lakoisim. So his first argument is that the walls of the oven and the food are very far away from each other. So presumably, what he means to be getting at is what we started off at the beginning of the shir is that what? When is zeya an issue? When it's close? When it's close proximity? Here it's far away. I mean, even if you accept the rush was talking about when the things were somewhat close to each other. But here you're talking about you have an oven, you have a pot, the pot's in the center of the oven, there's a lot of space. So even if the zeya, the steam comes up and goes out, but it, since there's, you know, it somehow dies before it gets to the walls of the oven. So Rav Moshe says to that, Vade in lus mechal zeh. Says Rav Moshe, that's not going to be it. Why? Even if you'll take a measure it, and you'll see that the steam is not hot enough, by the time it hits to the wall, it's not yatsu ledes. Which again, the pashtus is zeya. It's not yatsu ledes. It's not going to present the problem. That's why I just want to mention what I mentioned last week. I talked last week about using spices. So I have a Talmud of mine who listens online. He's probably getting married tonight, so he's not listening tonight. But he mentioned to me that I should correct myself, because if you're going to, let's say, put salt on your soup in your bowl, by the time you get it, it's already a klishlishi. So then there's no way it's yatsu ledes. So then it's very likely that the salt wouldn't, the zeya wouldn't create a problem. When we talk about zeya, it's more likely a problem when it's on the pot itself. But, you know, to put salt into your bowl that your wife served to you from the soup pot, in the ladle, and this, that, and the other, by the time it gets to you, it might not be yatsu ledes anymore. But again, maybe we'll talk a little bit more tonight if we have time about the issue of spices. But that's the same issue. If you ever go to people and they tell you that they have 2 separate sets of spices, the pashtus is it's based on a chumra from the Badi HaShulchan. Because again, the same idea. The zeya comes up and it gets into the spice. So now you have fleshika absorptions. And then when you pour it over the hot milchik, so the same thing happens. So again, the question is that exactly the same scenario? You know, it's not exactly the same thing as an oven. There's much more open space, right? Now the steam can go anywhere. In the oven, it's confined to an oven. Here, I'm in the out. The steam can go that way, upside, you know, who knows? So it's questionable whether or not that chumra is agreed by all. But Rav Moshe is saying he doesn't think that the walls are far enough for the steam to go away. He says, Hashayich zeh rakish agder el yeyne el yinu sechesh efshu mashka. Okay, fine. So Rav Moshe doesn't buy that taina. He says, Av batanuri hagaz harei agagva koisim kulam chamimoid. So Rav Moshe, today in the ovens, the whole oven is so hot. Therefore what? You're right. Maybe when it comes out of the pot, when it comes out of the dish in the oven, it's not yatzeledes. By the time it hits the heat of the oven, it becomes yatzeledes. So Rav Moshe says, that's not going to fly. What's the second argument? The Shoyal says to Rav Moshe. So far you're getting the impression that Rav Moshe took Zeya very seriously in our ovens, which is why many Achorim take Zeya very seriously, because Rav Moshe finds him was the Paisik Ador, and he took Zeya very seriously. Then Rav Moshe can go as Vaita, he says, Vatambes, the second issue that you want to be matter is what? Shatanurim Yeshlam Pesach B'tzad Yetzias HaAsha. That there is a vent. Right, the ovens today are made with vents for air to go out. So even though I didn't see it, even if they have a small opening from the side, it's not even good enough for reyach. If you remember last week, we spoke about this, whether or not there's an opening in the oven, is that enough to get around the problem of the smell? So Rav Moshe thinks that the vents in our ovens are not enough for reyach. V'kol shekein le'inyan zeya. It's definitely not enough to fix zeya. Why? Okay? So Rav Moshe doesn't think it makes a difference. Now, I heard B'Shem B'Yakiv, that B'Yakiv Kamenetsky held it does work. That the vents in our oven do create an open space, and therefore the zeya just goes out the vent. And therefore, since the zeya goes out the vent, there's no problem. But Rav Moshe wasn't budging. Rav Moshe thought that that's not so. We'll see, that's one of the arguments Rabbi Tzion Vosner makes, that the reason why Zeya is not a problem in the modern day oven is because it all goes out through the vent. Now, Rav Moshe wasn't buying the vent. Now, again, it could be Rav Moshe's times and today might be different. There might be legalities of how to make the size of the vent and the purpose of the vent, but we'll see that in a few minutes. But this is the kicker, number six. This is where Rav Moshe lays down the rules. Dr. Rav Moshe, Lechem, Imhaya Zeya. Dr. Rav Moshe, if there was steam, you cooked a piece of chicken in the oven and you see steam. Then you can't. Then you can't go back to back. Do I have to worry that there's zeya unless I see zeya? He says the lashon of Rambam is a mekuf chesef alf shukasef bezeach hazeh in lochush elam ken hazeh amachlas mishneihem. Because after Moshe, go back to the Rambam we started off with. The Rambam says that it's only a problem bezeach hazeh if you know that there's zeya, like the case of the machlas. Masha de bestoma in lochush hazeh elam ken yadu hazeh mishneihem. Avol efshe after Moshe de betanurim elu shestumim begag vekoisalim, but our ovens that are closed off vaday mezeya oishiyose noita shezia. So here Rav Moshe is saying that he's very convinced that everything has zeya, because everything is so packed into this little box called an oven. So Rav Moshe thinks that everything gives off steam. So it's not right, Dr. Moshe, not to cook things uncupped, unopened. So this is Rav Moshe's mashma, that just cover it. So the pashtus from this tshuva is that as long as you cover one of the two, you're good to go. Which we'll talk hopefully a little bit more tonight, that if I have a fleishig oven and I want to make milk, so just cover it, no problem, cover it. We'll see tonight, like everything else in halacha, even that is met with controversy. Not everyone agrees that you can just cover the opposite gender and call it a day. We'll get to that hopefully. But this line of Rav Moshe is mashma like that. Rav Moshe says you can't cook anything closed. So the deal is, if you open everything, you can't cook it open. But if you close it, you cover it with foil. You cover it with saran wrap, whatever it is. I remember when I was a kid, going back a while, everything in the microwave went in saran wrap, no matter what the gender was. I think they were worried back then about the rays and the things like that. Everything was saran wrapped in the microwave. So Belinette, if we'll get to tonight microwaves, I hope, that really solves almost all the problems. So that would be the same thing with the oven. If you're willing to wrap everything in an oven, obviously you can't put saran wrap in an oven, but you have foil, you have Reynolds wrap, the fantastic stuff, you wrap it up and you're good to go. Nothing comes in, nothing goes out. That presumably would solve all the problems. Presumably. To the point that we even mentioned...
Does it make a difference when you say presumably? No, again, it doesn't make a difference whether it's made ace-lace or not.
Again, the ace-lace just makes it a derabonin. But this whole thing might be derabonin anyways. Again, we'll talk Blinette a little bit more about mace lace a little bit later tonight. But again,
so you say it's sveik, and therefore it'd be matred or not really?
No. I would think, okay, the Badei HaShulchan buys into that. That he's only willing to be makel with wrapping if it's in Ein Ben Yoyma, it's after 24 hours. Which is a very, very shver chumrah, in my opinion. That you could only be makel with wrapping when it's more than ace lace. Favos. Wrapping is wrapping. Rabbi Yaakov, we mentioned last week that Rabbi Yaakov had a possibility that you can even cook batzel b'chol next to each other if it's wrapped. Because what's the problem? There's no recha, there's no zeya, there's no nothing. Again, we don't do that because that's asking for trouble. But bezeach hazeh, which anyways might only be a chumrah, because according to many, the whole zeh is not an issue. So I would think that should be okay.
Well, according to this, the oven doesn't have to have a certain designation like fleishiks or molchiks. It could go on to the next, meaning you could have cooked yesterday fleishigs, today milchigs.
No, no. Again, you have to pick the oven to be one gender. Once you pick that, that one doesn't need to be covered, and the other one has to be covered. Meaning, I generally suggest that in the frum world, you pick your oven to be fleishigs, and then whenever you want to make lasagna, so you cover the lasagna. That's what most of us do with one oven. I always get this phone call from the newly married Talmidim. What do I do with one oven? I said, what the rest of the world does with one oven. We survive. You know, it's manageable. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, you make the oven fleishigs, and then the other rest of it you just cover. Now, we'll have to get more into this, but we're not there yet. We're still trying to figure out what the issue is in the open world. So Ramesha says that he's nervous that everything might have Zaya, and therefore if everything gives off Zaya, so then you're back to square one. Therefore, Dr. Moshe should be machbe. Ubi di'evi Dr. Moshe, kishuv tzafik, ein la'aser, emay achar meis leis, tabli nois in tablet of gam. So Dr. Moshe, if it's more than 24 hours after the, between the two usages, Ramesha is more meikle. Now here's where Ramesha goes even further. V'hine, im leinis bashel betaner kideres bedover lach. Let's say you never cooked anything with liquid. Elo sha'afu ay bishlu dvarm yiveshim. You always cook dry things. Shame oichlim b'lei mashkim that they're without liquid. Again, you want to put in a piece of steak. You want to put in a piece of schnitzel. No liquid there. And you want to put in a lasagna. Zot Yud Moshe, I'm not so sure. Because we have a prima gadim that writes, Dezeyas oichlim enei osur. Ubechele mechutach nami mitzad lehetish enei osur. Apia Rambam, b'ragzayim b'tumas oichlim. Avokasa b'loshin efshir. But since the prima gadim says efshir, mashmashim mistapik l'din. He's not sure. The prima gadim himself is not sure. So Ramesh is not sure what to do. But if it's clearly dried, it's no question. So Ramesh, that sounds like it's okay. If your oven is only used for dry things, nothing liquidy, then it's no problem. Even with Zeya, because there is no Zeya going in, no Zeya coming out. If you see Zeya, Zog Yomayisha, you have to be Machmir. But if it's something that's dry, you don't have to suspect that there's Zeya. So it sounds like from this Rav Moshe, that if you cook a piece of chicken in the oven, and then you go in and you look to see if there's any steam coming from the chicken, and you don't see any steam, Dr. Moshe, no problem. Now, it's worth noting that Rav Schechter is of the opinion that when we talk about steam, it's like a very thick steam. He quotes the Daki Tshuva. I didn't see it inside, but he quotes the Daki Tshuva. The Daki Tshuva says, the Zeya is like a very thick steam. He says, our ovens don't really produce this thick, heavy steam. When you talk about Zeya, it doesn't just mean, you know, little steam, the little heat that comes off the top of the chicken. It means a gesunte steam, a thick steam that comes out of that, which usually you don't see. So therefore, he's noit also to be somewhat more on the makel side of Zeya. But here Rav Moshe is saying that if you don't see anything, then it's fine. So if I cook a piece of chicken, and then I don't see any heat, and then there's no heat coming from the chicken, there's no steam coming from the lasagna, presumably, Dr. Rav Moshe, in that case, you could be saying, mechanos paiskim, that hold, it's mutter. That's what sounds like for Rav Moshe. But what I wanted from this tshuva of Rav Moshe is that Rav Moshe takes Zeya seriously, even in our ovens. Which means Rav Moshe was willing to say that our ovens are an issue of Zeya. Now, he was willing to say that it could be makel if it's yavesh, fine. But you see clearly from Rav Moshe that our ovens present the problem of Zeh. And who's going to argue on Rav Moshe Feinstein? Now, it's not just Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's Minchas Yitzchak, it's Chelkas Yankiv. A lot of contemporary Achrayim weighed in, and they took our oven to be a serious Zeh concern. Now, with that backdrop comes along Reb Betzion Vosner. See, Vosner has a Beis Medrash, I think, in Muncie. He's in Eretz Yisrael, a couple places. Big Talmid Chacham. He's a son of Reb Shmuel Vosner. So he wrote an article in Or Yisrael. These are one of those journals that come out in Muncie. I think he has a shul. I think it's called the Shevet Halevi Shul or something in Muncie. I think, as far as I know, he's still alive. He should live for many, many years, I hope. He writes a very mechudash dik opinion about Zeya in this journal. Now, the truth is, what he's going to say is not only his, it's not really his own chiddush. It's also, I've heard this b'shem Rabbi Abadi. But those are the only two people that I heard that are willing to at least admit openly such an opinion about Zeya in the modern day oven. And he writes like this, number 7. Again, I quoted a lot from this article in Or Yisrael. He says the following. He He says what Ramosha said about the, he takes issues with Ramosha's vent. Again, Ramosha had an issue with that the vents in the oven don't count. So he writes, Shein lechatana be'olam, shein lepesach begagoy. He said there's not one oven in the world that doesn't have it, either on the top or on the side. Ha'asui lekach mishas yitzirasei. It was made like that. Ukenidra shalpi chuki hamedinas, and it's a law. Ki misham yoytze moitz v'sachoyim. That's where you get the extra heat comes out. Va'eshron akivshon karucha shebetanur magdoylem upshita the day bepesach hu lachshiv v'ketana pesuach. So he doesn't, again, he respectfully disagrees with Rav Moshe. He doesn't understand why Rav Moshe didn't feel that our ovens all have vents, and the vents should be sufficient to bypass the problem of Zeya. Again, they quote B'shem Rabbi Yaakov, that Rabbi Yaakov held like that. And Rabbi Yaakov held that, yeah?
If not anything else, Rav Moshe said it has to be a gezunta steam. With the vents, it doesn't reach that level.
Again, so Rav Moshe thought, again, clearly Rav Moshe wasn't going with this Taki Tshuva that it has to be thick steam. Because Rav Moshe was looking at our ovens, and in our ovens he was saying, even though there was a vent, Rav Moshe still thought it was real steam. Rabbi Yaakov, again, I heard this B'Shem, Rabbi Rudinsky quoted this Rabbi Yaakov, that Rabbi Yaakov said that if a carrot, the companies make the ovens, meaning the Ramah was talking about a self-made opening, where some yokelele decides to make a hole in his oven. Rabbi Yaakov said that the vents in these ovens are made by the manufacturers. It was a shtickle to what Rabbi Tzvi and Vazda are saying. The manufacturer made those vents with a reason, to vent out the hot air. So it's very hard to say that those vents are not accomplishing what they're supposed to accomplish. Lekach yotzarta. Zokti Yaakov, and this is what Rabbi Tzvi and Vazda is arguing, the vents in the ovens were made to vent out hot air. So that Ramosha's holes that doesn't do the job is somewhat an interesting horror. But again, many people quote.
If the vents are covered, the ovens shut off.
Right. These are safety things that are done on purpose. You know, they're supposed to be venting the hot air. So it's a shtickle tzarechi, and I'm not sure what Rav Moshe answers to that, to why he doesn't believe that the vents are not, but that's what Rav Moshe says. I don't have the plates to go against it, but there are achrayim that made this argument, and I heard B'Shem Rabbi Yaakov, that Rabbi Yaakov made this argument, and it's a somewhat compelling argument. That's the first thing that Rabbi Tzvi and Vosner points out in his article. And then he writes something else, number 8. So again, that's issue number 1 that we should all think about in the back of our heads. Why is the vent in the oven not enough to bypass the problem of Zeya? It should automatically have, instead of the steam go to the oven walls, the steam goes to the vent and out into the air, and it's not an issue. Then he quotes another very important idea. He said like this, number 8. Oy shlachtim. This is an introduction in his beginning. This is a little out of order in his article. In the beginning of his article, number 8, he writes this. Oy shlachtim. You got to make a little of an introduction. Whatever you find in Shulchan Aruch and in Nisei Kelim, they talk about the kashrus of an oven. There's absolutely nothing to do with our ovens. The word tanur is oven, but the modern oven and the oven of the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s is a different oven. It was their ovens. They used to actually bake and cook on the floor of the oven. We don't put anything on the floor of our oven. We put everything on racks. Everything goes on a rack today, and everything goes on a pot in a rack. You don't put anything on the floor of the oven. You don't even cook on the rack. The only time you maybe will put things on anything is in a microwave, which we'll have to get to Blin Eder either this week or next week. Very often people will put things directly on that glass tray in the microwave. You never find anyone ever putting anything directly on the floor of an oven. You won't even find anyone putting things on the racks of the oven. It's always with a cleat. Now,
I assume glass, but isn't glass not bolea? I mean, I know we'll get to it, but the glass isn't bolea, we learned.
No, that depends. Maybe for the Sephardim, not for the Ashkenazim. Maybe. We had a machloikis about this last week. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what's the status of the glass. Now, it's interesting, from a Tfilos Kalim standpoint.
Also, how about, let's say, obviously they only use it for milchish, but the oven's in a pizza shop.
Right.
So there, they put it directly on the thing.
Right. That's like the ovens in the times of the Shulchan Aruch. That's what they keep on saying. Those ovens, you can imagine there's gezunta zeya in those ovens. Because also they're not as high, there's a low ceiling. You can imagine there's probably gezunta zeya in those ovens. They probably also get very, very hot. Right, that's a good example of a tanner that they had. When we talk about the microwave, Blineder will have to get to it, I think, next week. I see already where we're not where we were supposed to be up to this week. But I always had this ahara that on the glass tray, there's a shot if you have to toivel that glass tray. That glass, obviously you don't toivel a microwave itself. The question is, what about the glass tray where the food goes? So Rabbi Forst writes in one of his books, he thinks he don't, because no one ever puts food directly on that glass tray. I don't know. I've seen people put food in that glass tray. Depending on the food, sometimes you would. And that will be negay when we talk about the kashrus of microwaves. But we'll have to get to there. So Zogter Bitzin Vosner...
Rabbi,
yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but didn't we learn when we learned, you know, about as far as tefillah and as far as kashrus and kalim, that if you don't cook in it, it's not a problem. So you're not actually cooking, you're heating up. There's a difference between cooking, taking from raw to a finished stage, versus in a microwave. Again, maybe other people do, but most people use it to warm. They don't use it literally to cook.
So we're going to have to talk about when we get into the sugya microwave, that's one of the issues with a microwave. That a microwave doesn't really do bishul, at least maybe not halachic bishul, because either right. bishul by definition has to be over esh, which is machlokes. Well, okay, well, we're getting, we'll bleed out there when we get to microwaves, which I was supposed to get to tonight, but, you know, that doesn't always pan out. But bleed out there, we'll get to microwaves, we'll deal with the issues with microwaves. So Zogter Bitzin wasn't like this. He says, that was the way they used to cook back then. Then he says, but Shaloi came b'tanur didon, it's not like that in our ovens. Shashoinim legamri, minakotza lekotza, the mamish opposite. From our ovens. First of all, we don't put anything on the floor of the oven. Secondly, a madaf cholo menukav. There's holes in the grates. They all have holes. Roiv a macholim oifin mevashim toich aganos. We use pots. There's a lot of differences. A lot of things to factor in between the modern day oven and the oven of the times of the Rambam. So therefore, says the Or Yisrael like this. This is where he starts to make his compelling argument. He says like this: Hare lemanu lehedya. But he says, what about a machvas? He says, Shaha machvas hoisa mishameshes kikisvik deir. We think that the oven is like the machvas, because the Ramah talked about a machvas. He says, no, you got it wrong. A machvas was more like a pot cover. Shakofa hoisa kikipa agabi machl shanefa. You put it over as a covering on something baked or roasted, agabi ish, akira. Vein le machvas le tana shom shaykhis. There's no connection between an oven and a machvas. Zulas mashin is tapku, except for maybe the issue of reichel. But he says, but to talk about Zeya in an oven, because the Ramah talks about Zeya in a machvas, or the Rosh talks about Zeya in a machvas, you're comparing apples to oranges. No shaykhis. So he writes, Uledina hechriyu da'kol toli ma Zeya machvas mitachteo, v'zeo gam kavanos Ramah. Okay, good. U'mi'achar she'en koyach o'eish ha'sove v'chupa o'isam b'chtei she'azeya tisarev v'tisyabish kibetanur. He says, by a machvas, it's much lower. So therefore, the Zeya can go up and hit it. He says, when you're in an oven, the oven is so hot, the Zeya burns up before it gets anywhere near the walls of the oven. There's no Zeya left to talk about. The kach kosher, okay. Then he writes over here, V'achanami, number 10. V'achanami, because she came b'chalal ha'tanur, she'koyach ha'esh v'achoyim goyver v'oyla l'midos givoyes. The heat of the oven is very hot. Ad she'mada me'yoveish u'mechale kol l'chlucha, it burns everything up. Whatever comes out, he says it burns up before it even gets to the walls. It never makes it, never survives the heat. This is also the argument of Rabbi Abadi. This is both the chiddush of Rabbi Tzin Voz and Rabbi Abadi, that the Zeya is created, but it never makes it to the walls. It burns up before it even has a chance to get to the walls or to get to the ceiling of the oven. Therefore, he writes, so there's no problem. He says, "V'achosh v'ametzias hanemonim yoisim imeo edim." He says, "I'll prove it to you." Yeidu al ze pukhazi shloilam loytimtze begagatan hashum zeh tuliyos v'netefas. Says Rabbi Tzvi Voz, the next time you finish cooking the oven, go into the oven, see if there's any moisture on top of the oven. There's nothing there, garnished. Rabbi Abadi said this also. Im yaniach atav shabatan rachel kivuyov shecham atan metzanan, the heat goes down. There's nothing there. There's no moisture there because it never made it to the wall. It burnt up before it got to the walls of the oven. Therefore, no Zeya, no problem. So, according to this, there's absolutely no problem to cook open milchiks, back-to-back to open fleishiks, Zeya. What? How can a Chanik and Zeya? Our ovens have no shaykhs to Zeya. And then he concludes his piece, and he writes, we'll just continue on the number 10, the middle of the line, he writes, and that's what the Chelkas Yaakov writes, She'ro'o b'metziyah shumen v'zeya, that he saw, that when he went out to the oven, he saw there was some liquid, some fatty, some something. Lo yadati emesai. He says, I don't know when. Im b'shasafir, if you stuck your hand into the oven while it was baking, oitzli while it was roasting, man yoyim shezezeya. How do you know that's zeya? For the hevel hatanur buvad, and not just the heat of the oven. Now I don't know what's anything anymore. What's heat? What's zeya? Puk chazi shel oilom loy timsa begag hatanur shum zeya no tefes. Says Rebbe Tzion Vosner, go test it. You'll never find anything there. Umiyachish es achush v'amitzias and the money meis mikol. Who can disprove reality? Whatever you'll find, the shirayim anitozim that's sprinkled, that's not zeya. Fine. So therefore, he says nothing to worry about. And there he concludes in number 11. Me'ata pashut l'chol ha'machmir boze ena elamin ha'matmim. Anyone that's machmir to have two ovens is a pella. If you have two ovens, great. So you can cook at the same time. Two different things. Two separate ovens, two different parts of the house. Avo, listen to this. Anyone who can't afford two ovens, make other people crazy with two ovens. Af chumra. People are trying to cook an Erev Shabbos, and your wife is trying to cook milchiks and fleishiks, and you're making her nuts about the oven. So he mamish machzavek the whole sugya of Zeya, says Rebbe Tzvi Vosner, the whole thing is not a problem.
So what does he say we can, according to him, what could you do?
According to him, in theory, you can argue you can even cook at the same time. The problem with cooking at the same time is if the two things are on top of each other, then you're definitely going to have zeya from one into the other. Meaning there's no zeya into the walls of the oven. But if I have pots like this, let me get my camera better over here. If I have pots like this, milk and flesh is on top of each other, then I could have zeya to go up. So Rabbi Abadi supposedly holds that he thinks Me'ikra Din, you can have two pots in the oven as long as they're not on top of each other, but he's too nervous to have them together. There's too much that can go wrong when they're together. Then you can splatter and people can make mistakes. But b'zachazeh, one after the other, no problem. 10:05 put in the chicken, 11:05 put in the fleishiks, everything is open, no problems. Now, I'm not telling you this is the common practice. I'm telling you this is the sheet of Rebbe Tzion Vosner, as well as the opinion of Rebbe Yitzchak Abadi. That they take the whole...
Is this speaking about where both the items, one on top of the other, they're both covered or they're both uncovered?
Open. Nothing
okay. But if, let's say, you want to put a pot of milchiks that's closed and a pot out of fleishiks, no problem?
Pashtus, it shouldn't be a problem. Pashas shouldn't be a problem, but we'll see. We saw last week, Rabbi Yaakov didn't like it. Rabbi Yaakov didn't like putting milchiks and fleishiks together in the oven, even then when they're both covered. And we'll see tonight a little bit more about covering. So again, the chiddush of these achronim, they basically take the sugi of the Rosh, the sugi of Zeya, and they're more about everything, and they say that's all nothing to do with our ovens. Our ovens, the Zeya burns up before it gets to the walls, no problem. Therefore, according to them, if you want to cook bazar chazeh, you want to cook milchiks open, back-to-back fleishiks open, no problem. But again, the only thing you want is you want to make sure that the oven is clean. If there's mamashis in the oven, that could be a problem as well. But if you have a clean oven, according to these achrenim, you have absolutely no problem of going... Again, Rav Moshe said not like that. Rav Moshe was much more machmir. But again, this is a thought out there of gedolei achrenim. I was listening to a shiur from Rabbi Baruch Simon. Rabbi Baruch Simon quotes Rabbi Abadi a lot. I didn't have the chutzpah to find that if Rabbi Simon Taka takes this literally, and he Taka only hands one oven in his house and doesn't cover it. I don't know. I didn't have the azus to ask him, but I'm sure there are people that follow this psak, and they hold you don't need, so therefore they Taka only have one oven, and they don't cover it, and they go b'zeh chazeh. Again, it's hard to do it because Lamaisa Ramesha was Ramesha, and he thought that our ovens are problematic. If you look in Yalkut Yosef, in the Bevad Yosef's son, and there's a lengthy tshuv in Yabi Omer, Chelik Hei, Yerudei Semen Zayin. Again, I can't quote Yabi Omer's on the papers because I don't have it on my Yitzhak Chacha, but I try to use Yalkut Yosef, which very often just basically in a short version tells over what his father writes. And here he does the same. He writes this in number 12. He says, Tanur Afia Chashmali, you have a fleishig baking oven. Again, he's talking about one that's fleishig. He holds you can cook in it, ugois, cookies or something, that's filled with cheese. B'toich magash acher amyuchel macholchav. In another form of, not a tray or something. Uvuvad sheyaver zman shal me'es leis. It has to go at least more than 24 hours. Ubitnai noisiv sheyasik es hatan rofnei afir. You should at least clean it out. You should at least heat it up at least a half an hour. We'll see why that's important. But oifin shem nishara eiz ezeya b'dafni hatan. Because if there is zeya, the zeya got knocked out. V'cholzeh b'oichlim. That's only if it's a salad. Let's say you have a soup. Let's say you want to cook a milchika soup and then a fleshika soup. Ain lahatir. You can't permit that. Unless the pot is well covered. Listen to this. Then says Rabbi Vaja, Yaakov Yosef, you can only be matir it after me'es leis. And if you also heat it up in between. Which means he's taking it very seriously. He's not going like these other achrayim. But he says, let's say b'di'evit, your wife takes a hot, she takes the milchika liquid and she cooks it in the fleishig oven. And it's within 24 hours when you had open fleishig liquid. What's the efshir yesh lahater? Maybe the zeir is not really a problem. So again, when we're dealing with two salads, there's much, much more room to be mekel. And he's still not mekel. He's not so mekel. But if you have two salads, in theory, there's much room to be makel under the premise that there's no zeya anyway from a davar yavish. Coupled with the fact that zeya might not be a problem in the first place. So there might be room to be makel when you have zeya from two dvarim yavish. Now, there's an important Yaakov over here that I just want to show you inside. We're going to believe not to talk a little bit later tonight, or looks like tomorrow, next week I mean. Let's say I have my fleishik oven. My fleishik oven I use for open fleishik. But you know what? I want to switch it to milchiks. Again, we mentioned last week that's a shaila in the Magen Avraham. But let's say you hold that the Magen Avraham about switching from milchiks to fleishik doesn't apply to ovens. So now I want to kasher my fleishik oven and make it milchiks. What would I need to do to the oven? So there's a fundamental question over here. Of what is the status of our ovens? So let's just remind ourselves. We all know the way it works in kashering is that there's two ways to kasher. You either kasher through libun, or you kasher through hagala. How do you know which one to use? So it depends how it got absorbed. If it got absorbed through water, through liquid, so you use hagala, use hot water, because kibloy kach polta. If it got absorbed through heat, so then we use fire. How do you do libun? Libun is what we call real libun is libun gomer. You got to go burn it out. You have to burn it at a very, very high temperature, to which Rav Moshe Feinstein held you cannot accomplish in our ovens. Now, if I wanted to kasher my oven from milchus to fleishik, what mode of kashering would I need to use? So you have to ask yourself, well, how did the milchus get absorbed into the oven? If you hold it's even absorbed in the first place, right? So if you hold zeya is something, so how did it get absorbed? So Rav Moshe held that the ovens need libun. Libun gomer. Rav Moshe holds that if you cook in an oven, it's the same thing as if you cook in a barbecue grill, and the only way to cash it is libun gomer, and libun gomer is impossible to accomplish in a regular oven. Rav Moshe held libun gomer cannot be accomplished. That's why Rav Moshe held you can't really cash your ovens from Pesach for Pesach. There are people that don't cash their ovens for Pesach. They use an oven insert. Why? Because they hold that you can't kasher an oven. Why can't you kasher an oven? Because Rav Moshe held that the oven is like libun, needs libun. It's as if it's like the food got absorbed through the heat. Even though it's not really the heat, it's really the zeya, which is a liquid, but that was Rav Moshe's chiddush. And therefore, libun cannot be accomplished in the oven, and therefore you can't kasher your oven. However, many achrayim disagreed. Rav Henkin, as one of them, argued on Rav Moshe, and they held, no, you could kasher an oven. Why? Because an oven is really liquid. Why? Because the zeya is really liquid. How did the walls get absorbed? They got absorbed through the zeya. The zeya is liquid. Therefore, if it's liquid, you can use hagola. You can't do hagola on an oven. So the halacha is when you can't do hagola, you can do what's called libun kal. Therefore, you can use libun kal to kasher an oven. That's one thought out there. So that's one machlekes. How would you even kasher your oven from milchik to fleishik? Let's say, for example, I wanted to change my fleishik oven to a milchik oven because it's before Shavuos, and my wife wants to make a cheesecake. She wants to make a cheesecake opened, and I learned that, you know, it's not so pashit. I don't know what's yovish and what's lach. I'm a machmir, but she really wants to make it open, so I'll tell her, no problem, we'll kasher it out. How do I even go about kashering? So according to Rav Moshe, you can't go out. Because according to Maisha, it's Zeya is considered ala ish, as if it's absorbed through fire, and you can only use Liban Gomer. And I do not suggest taking a blowtorch to your oven. You know, it's not, in all seriousness, there are crazy people that do things like that. I shouldn't say crazy, that's a strong word. There are people that are, you know, very devoted, and it's just very dangerous. There are people who know how to do it. I think Chabad, some Chabad people are very, I think they give a service. If you go on vacation, they'll come and kasher your house for you. They know what they're doing. Okay, whatever. I'm not getting involved. But most of us, most of the Rabbanim that I heard from are not suggesting, ever, that any layman should take a blowtorch to any part of their house. It's a shayla of real pekuach nefesh and just a bad idea. So you can't do Liban, so you're stuck. Yeah.
Is it possible that maybe Ramosha would agree again? Let's keep in mind, Ramosha was nifter in 1986.
Right.
I don't know how prevalent, you know, self-cleaning up.
We'll talk about it. We'll get to it. Very good, we'll get to it. Okay. Ramosha did talk about self-cleaning up. It's not an Igus Moshe. But if you remember last week, I photocopied from the Messiris Moshe. I have it again on this week's Maram HaKoymus. No, I have this week's Maram HaKoymus about microwave. It's on last week's Maram HaKoymus where Moshe was asked, at least in Messiris Moshe by Rabbi Tendler, he was asked about the self-cleaning ovens. We'll get to self-cleaning ovens, I guess, next week. But, so that was Rav Moshe's chiddush. So according to Rav Moshe, you're stuck. According to Rav Moshe, you can't kasher your oven for Pesach. Okay? Can't kasher. That's why many people have an insert. They use an insert because they can't kasher their oven. Now, according to Rav Hankin, you can kasher your oven, you kasher with Liban Kal. Now there's another mahalach over here that holds that even if Rav Moshe is right, that an oven needs to have Liban Gomer, and Liban Gomer is such a high temperature, that's only when you don't have a thermostat. Our ovens, forget self-cleaning oven, our regular oven is not going to get 100,000 degrees. There's only so hot it's going to go. So if, in the times of Chazal, they never knew that. They never knew how hottest was. So they always had to be choshish for the most hottest sheet. But today, we don't need to be worried about that. Today, we know that if you put it on, right, you put the oven on 350, you put it on 450, you put it on 500, it's only going to get a certain temperature. So therefore, you can apply the rule of kibloy kach poltoy, put it on for that amount of time, and that can get it out also. So there is ways to kasher an oven, especially if it's a terabola. Because again, I have a fleishik oven. What's in the walls of my oven? Zeya of fleishiks. Kasher of fleishiks. Not treif. It's not like, I'm getting an apartment like the young couples have, and they get an apartment from a guy. They're worried about treif, and the guy, cooked pig in the walls of the oven. It's a fleishiks. It was kosher fleishiks. That's a terabola. For a terabola, it's a lot easier to kasher. So presumably you could kasher your oven. Now, if you can kasher your oven, and you want to kasher your oven, so we have the question from last week. Is that a breach of the Magen Avraham? Meaning we could solve a lot of these problems, is if the three times a year your wife wants to bake an open cheesecake, just kasher the oven before she does it. Right? You'll kasher the oven. Again, I'm not talking self-clean. We'll get to self-cleaning next week. Regular oven, good old-fashioned oven. You'll kasher the oven. You'll take your fleishik oven. You'll wait in the ace lace. You'll wait 24 hours. Then you'll turn it on to the highest temperature for whatever it is. And now it's kashered. Good to go. So what would be wrong with that in theory? The answer is presumably nothing is wrong with that in theory. Now, Rabbi Forrest points out a problem, which again, I don't know the metzias, is that he says many of our ovens have an enamel which might be considered klecheris. And klecheris can't be kashered. So that's an issue that he suggests. I don't know the metzias enough about what is the makeup of our ovens, but if there is a enamel, E-N-A-M-E-L, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the word right, that is in the oven, it might be considered porcelain. And porcelain is klecheris, it can't be kashered. So that's a bit of a question with regard to kashering. But that's one way to get around. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov writes. Number 13, Rabbi Yaakov writes, Hechshu tanurim didon sagi b'liban kal. So to Yaakov to kasher our ovens, he grounded this is in Hilchas Pesach. He says the way you kasher our oven is with Liban Kal. You turn it on to the highest temperature. For the highest time, for the longest time that you could have used it. He's going with the lums of Kibloy Kach Poltoi. You don't need that sparks fly out of it. So that's clear. Rabbi Yaakov is nachas to the idea that we can just kasher the oven. Again, he's not getting involved in the issue of kashering back and forth bas b'chol, but he's suggesting that there is at least an option to kasher your oven from milchiks to fleishiks, or there he's talking about from chametz to Pesach. Now, Rabbi Olbaum, Melech Isaac Olbaum, a rav here in my neighborhood, Number 14, he has a tshuva. We also discusses the back and forth of the Milchix and Fleishix oven. So he writes like this. The bottom source, he says, he writes at number 14, Umeata nichzianan. Can we kasher an oven back and forth? So he says, first of all, he quotes a Chayk Yankov. The Chayk Yankov says they used to kasher some form of an oven back and forth between Milchix and Fleishix. When you want to kasher an oven for milk to fleishix, you don't need liban gomer. You don't need to blowtorch it. You just need liban kal. Why? Because first of all, like we mentioned earlier, because the whole oven is only hetera bala. It only absorbed kosher fleishix or kosher milchix. So now when I want to purge it from the walls, I don't need liban gomer. I don't need that much to get it out. And therefore, I can use liban kal. Liban kal, Rabbi Yaakov told us, is not so unattainable. Therefore, he writes, Then he says, on top of that, he's arguing on Rav Moshe. He holds that a oven that absorbed it was not really absorbed through fire, it was really absorbed through liquid. So therefore, he's also open to the idea that you, to kasher an oven, if you wanted to kasher the oven from milk to fleishix, you would not need a blowtorch, you would only need liban kal. Which means, if you don't have a self-cleaning oven, you still can change your oven over from milchix to fleishix if you choose so, and if you hold, it's not a halachic concern of switching back and forth what we learned in the Magen Avraham. Now, if you look over here, number 15. So let's stop for a second just to recap. It's a lot later than I thought. So let's just recap what we came out with tonight. What we came out with tonight is we discussed this idea of Zeya. We said the two issues with one oven is Reach, which we discussed last week, and the issue tonight of Zeya, of some form of steam coming from the dish to the walls of the oven, or from the dish to another dish, based on a rush with a Ramah and all these things. And we basically came out that most, that Rav Moshe and Chalkas Yaakov and Mechaz Yitzchak all held that our ovens are walking Zeya boxes, and therefore you cannot cook open milk and open fleishix even b'zach hazeh, while Rabbi Tzin Vosner, as well as Rabbi Abadi, make the argument that because our ovens are so hot and they're not like the machvas, there is no problem. Now, let's say instead of kashering, and I want to cover, can that solve all the world's problems? So we'll just start with this, that if you look over in number 15, the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasoi, he writes the following halacha. He says, number 15, Ein la'afois betana rafir shetzolim babosar divrei ma'afi chalovin. You should not cook in a fleishik oven milchix. V'af lo divrei ma'afi stomim even pariv in b'tzoyin al'ochem divrei chalov. If you want to eat it with milk. This is what we'll I want to get into more next week. Right, how many people get shalach manis? They bake you cookies, they bake you bread, and they write, baked in a fleishik oven. What does that mean in English? So what that means in English is, that means they cooked it opened in an oven that they cooked, they baked open fleishiks. But based on what we learned tonight, is that really a problem? Again, what's bread? Bread is a davi yavish. So if the bread that they're giving me is a davi yavish, or the cookies that they're giving me is a davi yavish, so what's the problem in the first place? First of all, if you hold like Rebbe Tzin Vosner that there's no Zeh b'zman hazeh, or you hold like those Achrayim, so it's for sure not a problem. But even if you hold Zeh is a problem, but it's a davi yavish. There's no steam coming out of bread. So is there any significance to writing on it baked in a fleishik oven? So the answer is, people are still machmir. Because it may be according to Moshe, I don't know, you'll check the bread and it will be. So he's talking machmir. He says you shouldn't. V'loy rak b'vasachas asalas is kain, ki af b'zach hazeh yesh l'achmir. He thinks you shouldn't l'chadchila bake, let's say, cookies in a fleishik oven, and then eat those cookies with milchix. Now, one could argue, based on what we learned tonight, that that's really not a problem. That's like chumra upon chumra. That's zeya upon zeya. Because again, who said there's zeya in the oven? And even if there is zeya, who says dava yavish has a problem of zeya? But then he writes, which is the part I want to get to tonight at least, is, but v'imhoyu mechasu echad mishnei haminim b'mechasa oy b'nir aluminim. But if either one of the two things that you put into the oven were covered with aluminum, hareze motor b'chol loifin. So this is what we need to discuss, and again, we're not going to get into more tonight because it's already over our zman, that if you cover one of the two, Again, if you want to hold a fleishik oven. So again, if you have a fleishik oven, so then you can cook open fleishik, no problem. But what do you do with milchiks? So we discussed before the possibility of kashering it. Kashering it so you can cook open milchiks. But that's not always practical. Or you don't always need to. So what's the other answer? Cover it. Cover it, you got no problems. Because there's no zeya coming in and coming out if it's covered. And that was the opinion of Rav Moshe Sternbach as well. Cover with silver foil. If you're in a fleishik oven, so you cover the milchik thing from all sides, to prevent the zeya from going into the, again, preventing the zeya. So that solves all the problem, foil. Rabbi Yaakov writes it, then number 17. Says Rabbi Yaakov, L'chadchila ein l'shtamish b'tan recha l'vash al tarav shabbos b'chol b'yach. Zot Rabbi Yaakov, L'chadchila, you should not use one oven to cook together milk and fleishiks. Av sheshneim u'chosim heitiv. Even if they're both covered with foil, one could argue, if they're both covered with foil, what's the problem? So Rabbi Yaakov, don't do that. Avo b'zeach hazeh kol sheshneim u'chosim heitiv. If they're both covered well, now again, I'm not sure why they both have to be covered, as long as one of them is covered. So here Rabbi Yaakov says it clear, like Rav Moshe Sternbach says, like the Shmir Shabbos Kochasi says, if you have one oven, what do? You take the other gender and you cover it. However, they quote B'Shem of Eliashiv, that Eliashiv says nothing doing. Rabbi Eliashiv says you can't use covering, because the cover can rip, can come off, not so partial. Rabbi Eliashiv was not keen on the notion of using foil to solve all the problems of Zeya. He thought that the foil could rip. That's why some people like to use double foil. They wrap it twice. What's the wrapping twice? The wrapping twice is to ensure that in case the first layer rips, you know, this won't rip. Now, it's like the people who take two plastic cups to make kiddush when they go to shul on Shabbos. I have no idea. We had a share on this topic once. Right? You see people, they take two plastic cups and they think that now becomes a kais because it's two of them. I don't know exactly what it changes. If it's plastic, you throw it in the garbage. It's still, now it's two things you throw in the garbage. But at least over here, yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry, go ahead. Who said that number 16? I can't read that.
That's Rav Moshe Sternbach. It's a sefer called Orchas Habayis, where he writes very shorthand, like, you know, what you need to know for a Jewish house. You know, not like his lengthy Tshuvas Vanhagas, but it's very short, like, you know, this is what you need to do. So he writes very clearly that if you wrap it with foil, you're good to go. But they quote B'Shem of Eliashiv, Rabbi Eliashiv, oh no, we're still chayshish. Maybe the foil will rip. That's why some people want to use two wrappings. If you wrap it twice, so then, you know, it's a little out there, they have to be chayshish, that both wrappings are going to rip. Kulei Ivuhu, you know, that's a lot.
Or if you use heavy-duty aluminum.
Or you use heavy-duty aluminum. Right, but again, but based on what we've been learning till now, you know, it's hard to imagine that, unless you're very machmir on the whole Zeus, so it's hard to say that you shouldn't be able to use aluminum foil. Now, it's interesting, the Badi HaShulchan, I guess you can call this Kedarki HaKodesh, he's very machmir. He holds you can only use foil if it's not mi'es leis. He holds you can only use foil if it's more than 24 hours. So let's, for example, if your wife cooked Sunday night fleishiks, so you can't put in wrapped milchiks till after 24 hours. That's a chumrah. Okay, that's his opinion. You can't use it that way. Okay, but I think most of the contemporary poskim, the modern day poskim, hold that you'd be allowed to use wrapping foil would solve all the problems. Again, I think you should use sturdy and maybe use the double covering. But I think if you do it that way, there should really be no problems. Okay. Mr. Shem, next week we'll delve into the microwave. We'll see how the microwave differs from the oven. And believe it or not, might be worse than the oven. Which means there's more halachic concerns with the microwave than there is. And then I'd like to maybe talk about the sink or the dishwasher. I'm not sure which electric device I want to get to. But believe it or not, the next week we'll get into the microwave and probably from there either talk about the sink or the dishwasher. I'm not sure yet. But believe it or not, the microwave will be discussed in Mr. Shem. Next week, again, there's still some more in about the oven, but I think we covered a large bulk of the issues of having two ovens. Again, it's worth mentioning what Rabbi Four says. He says you're going to spend thousands of dollars on a new kitchen, splurge for the second oven so you don't have to deal with all of these issues. Okay, everybody, say have a wonderful evening next week or Sunday morning. Be well and be safe.
Thank you.